Well, please turn in your copy of God's Holy Word to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 5. After a couple of weeks away from Luke, we are returning once again to this Gospel account of the life and ministry of our Lord in the Incarnation. And we pick up at verse 12. I put in the bulletin, would go down to verse 16, but thought better of it, and we'll stop at verse 15 this morning. Luke 5, verse 12. Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Luke 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray now for the preaching of it. Our Father, we come once again to see the Lord Jesus Christ in your word and to hear preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in your word. And Lord, no man is sufficient to preach the infinite compassion and mercy of Jesus Christ for sinners. And so, Lord, we pray that it would not be this man who will now proclaim the oracles of God, but rather the Holy Ghost who points us to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. And that same Spirit would not just be on the minister, but also on all of your servants here who will hear the word preached. So, Lord, we have come to see Jesus. So we pray that it would be Jesus that they would see and hear from, and not this minister who preaches on his behalf. And so, Lord, as we ask and seek these things for the glory of Christ, we ask that you would help us now to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. For we ask this in his name. Amen. Thus far, people of God, we have seen the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has healed multitudes. He has cast out demons. He drew in a great catch on Peter's boat. The awe of that power causing Peter to say, as he understood who stood before him, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. We have seen that those miracles had a purpose to testify that Jesus is the Christ, as we heard in Hebrews 2, verse 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. The miracles that our Lord performed showed not only his power, but they confirmed that he is the Christ, that he was the one that God had sent to free us from our captivity to sin and to heal the brokenhearted. With all that, though, friends, the Lord knows that sinners might say, Yes, I see the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to save. Yes, I see that the Lord has the power to save. But is he willing to save? And is he willing to do it for me? I have done what no man or woman should do, things that even pagans are ashamed of. I see that I am vile. I see that I am a worm. I see I am not a man, that I am filthy and I am debased. and I am unclean. And sinners ask, would the Lord, could the Lord be willing to save one such as me? If that is you, friend, or you are ministering to one who struggles in that way, this text is for you this morning. When our Lord Jesus touched this man full of leprosy, friends, what you have to realize is he did not intend to teach you about lepers. He intended to teach you about sinners. That his compassion and his will to save goes out to the very worst, pictured here by a man who is said to be full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. In other words, he is a man who pictures a sinner full of sin. Proving the truth, friends, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the chief. That's our theme, friends, that Jesus Christ has both the power and the will to save even the worst sinner, even yourself. Well, that by way of introduction, let's divide our time into three headings there on your outline. First is to look at the sinner's condition pictured in this leper. Second, the Lord's willingness to save and to even touch a sinner. And third, what the sinner's response must be to the healing of the Lord. So first, the sinner's condition. And you must see, as I've already said, the leper is a vivid portrayal of a sinner. Now, I'm not saying that his leprosy was due to his sin, but instead that his leprosy is a picture of what sin is like. And in a lot of ways, friends, you're not going to grasp a picture of how great and awful your sin condition is until you have compared it to leprosy. Because, sad to say, spiritual things are not perceived by our fallen nature. So the Lord has given us a grotesque picture of what sin is like in the inner man through an affliction that affects the outer man. Sadly, and you're going to see this as we get to the end of this narrative here, friends, you and I are often more alarmed by the condition of our bodies than we are concerned about the condition of our souls. At prayer meetings, you are going to most often find requests not for the afflictions of one's soul, but instead for the afflictions of one's body. So knowing that, the Lord has given to us leprosy to show how grotesque sin is. So, let's ask, what is leprosy? And what can we learn of our spiritual condition out of it? Now, there are many skin conditions that the Bible considers leprosy. But I'm going to consider the primary one that we most know, which is called these days Hansen's disease. It's a bacterial infection that mostly affects the skin, eyes, and nose. It destroys the nerve endings in your skin, and over time, it actually eradicates your sense of feeling. Boys and girls, I wanted to mention this. You might never have thought about this, but feeling pain in this fallen world is actually a blessing from the Lord. You might never have thought about that. Why is that? Well, it is because, like, when you hurt yourself, let's say you stub your toe, right? You know to stop doing it, right? Otherwise, you're going to destroy your toe. The problem with the leper is he cannot sense that. And they hurt themselves. They end up mutilating themselves. They break their bones. They don't know they've stubbed their toe. They burn their skin. They do not know their hand is on a fire or a pan is too hot. And they burn and singe their skin. Their feet cannot feel so well. So even walking is a trial. When you're walking on uneven ground, you need that sensation, don't you, of where the ground is at. Their digits deform, their bones shrink, their skin tissue does too. Their cartilage is often absorbed into their body. Sometimes their blinking reflex is eliminated, and they cannot even moisten their eyes. It's a torturous existence, friends. A terrible and progressive disease that worsens over time. And as their skin starts to become putrefied, secondary infections break out on their body, and it's like with many diseases, the secondary infections that often kill them. It's a terrible condition, friends. It's one that is designed to fill us with revulsion and with horror that we would ever be struck in such a way. If you want to be horrified, go view images of lepers, even on Google Images. It's a heart-wrenching and horrifying condition, even these days, especially in third world countries. It's as though these men and women are the walking dead. But what you must not neglect to do is you must not neglect to take that revulsion and connect it to your sinfulness, friends. Yes, you read in the Bible, in other words, that sin is lawlessness, and you file it away. You think of it as the abstract breaking of commandments, which it is. Make no mistake, but God wants you to go further. He wants you to grasp its horrifying nature, to be mortified that as a monster coming against you, sin lieth at the door, and its desire is for you to consume you. He would have you see sin like a terrible plague, friends. The greatest plague, the plague of plagues. And because of that, an entire section of the ceremonial law is devoted to leprosy. If you read Leviticus 13, and if you need something to do this Sabbath to redeem the time, read that chapter, but don't neglect to connect that chapter to sin when you see whatever is spoken of leprosy. Boys and girls, maybe this is something you can do for your devotions. Try to make as many connections between leprosy and sin that you can in that chapter. And if you would do that, you would find a greater revulsion for your sin as you connect it to leprosy. And let me draw a few parallels to give you a taste of what you might see. You will find that leprosy makes a man unclean in the law of God. The condition causes a leper to be cast out of his society. He was unable to enter Jerusalem, unable to draw near to God at the temple. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp, that is outside the camp, shall his habitation be. Verse 46, Leviticus 13. He must leave his family, friends. He must be utterly isolated from non-lepers, away from the temple, away from the people of God. And that isolation was designed to keep his disease from spreading. Leviticus 13:8 says, leprosy spreadeth. And does that not teach you something about sin as well? Sin spreads, friends. It doesn't stay stagnant. It spreads. It cannot be contained. And it grows in us as a plague. But also our sin spreads to others as well. And it spreads like leaven. That is why Paul has a concern to cast out the man. Because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. And sin has to be dealt with in a congregation. So knowing the horror of leprosy then, and I've just scratch the surface here. I want us to look at what the commandment says for the man who is diagnosed with leprosy. On that day when he began his great isolation. Could you imagine that day when he was first diagnosed with leprosy and he had to go to the priest? This is the direction given in Leviticus. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Think about that, friends. It wasn't the priest crying out, unclean, unclean. It was the man himself who had to cry out that he is unclean. He had to choke out those words, unclean, unclean. And he had to warn everyone, stay away from me. Alfred Edersheim once wrote that a leper is one who reads his own burial service. A desperate man, unclean, isolated, progressively dying. I do think, though, that it is a striking image of what a man or woman feels when the Holy Spirit first convicts us of our sin. You cry out saying, unclean, unclean, I am unclean. I deserve to be isolated. I deserve to be in hell. You must see what this man suffered as a portrayal of the uncleanness of our sin and what it deserves. And you must also see it as what your sin will do to you apart from Jesus Christ. It's going to slowly consume you, friend, and it will isolate you to hell. It's a place that is called outer darkness, full of the torments of soul and body. And the picture of hell is actually not a place of many people all together, but it is a place of great loneliness, filled with weeping and filled with the gnashing of teeth. No one is there to comfort you. No one is there to console you. An eternity of God's wrath for your sin is what you will have. That is what the leper pictured when he was cast outside of the people of God, spent all alone, eternally and utterly so, in outer darkness. And in Leviticus 13:52, boys and girls, you might note this, the leper's garments are only fit for one thing, burning. Burning in the fire, which is what the sinner will face, an eternity of burning in the fires of hell, because that is how hideous and that is how grotesque sin is. So in leprosy, you not only see what sin does to a man, you also find what sin deserves. And that's why it is the great portrayal of sin. And if you now understood this text in Leviticus 13 of leprosy, then you would understand that why it is that when Isaiah comes before God, what does he cry? Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among unclean people. Is that not the leper's cry? Unclean, unclean. Before the piercing holiness of God, Isaiah saw not his leprous skin, but his leprous heart. Just as Peter did. It's interesting. Remember where we have come from just last time. When Peter saw the holiness of Christ, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Peter saw his leprous heart. Surely all of you who have come to the Lord and come to saving faith, have you not seen your own leprous heart? Have you not? It's no wonder, then, if you think about this. I enjoyed piecing together Isaiah's story along with Luke 5 and Leviticus 13. It's no wonder, then, that having appeared before God in that manner, Isaiah wrote at the end of his book, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Isaiah 64, verse 6. He said, all of us, all of us. So, beloved, you must connect yourself to the leper, for all of us are as an unclean thing. The holy prophet Isaiah saw it. The holy apostles Peter and Paul saw it. How much more so you and me, friends? To be healed, you must first recognize that you are as a leper spiritually, that yours is a dire condition. Again, Isaiah 1, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, nor neither mollified with ointment. It's no mistake, friends, that men like Isaiah and Peter, who have had a greater sight of God, have a greater sight of their sinfulness, as you must as well. Otherwise, you will never seek out Jesus for what he is willing and able to do for you. So with that, to understand leprosy, let's put together two other Gospels, Matthew 8 and Mark 1, with our text, when it comes to this particular leper. Because the three Gospels paint a remarkable portrait of this moment that is so blessed in the Word of God. From Matthew 8, we see that our text took place after Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount. After he preached the kingdom in this way, how did he preach, boys and girls? Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, and so on. It must be that this leper heard our Lord preach and was drawn towards him. Even though as a leper he could not draw near the multitudes, I'm sure he stood far away hearing the Lord. But for the first time since being struck with leprosy, This man must have had hope. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. And he must have said, never spake any man like this man. And so this man commits himself to Jesus. Verse 12, seeing Jesus, he fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see first how the man humbles himself before the Lord. He admits, I have no right to be before you, Lord. As an unclean thing, especially, it has been drummed into his mind, and he knew he had no place with holy men, and he must keep his distance from him. So he falls on his face before the Lord, just as Peter did. And in that connection between Peter and the leper, the scripture is demonstrating that Peter and the leper were afflicted with the same disease, uncleanness. You could not see it on the outside of Peter, but it was there on the inside. And that's why Peter fell on his face, as this leper did. As you and I must before the Lord, saying, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. That's the cry of every Christian. Has to be. But the question on the leper's mind must have been, will he? Will this Jesus have mercy on me? Look at what he says. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's beautiful, isn't it? He has no doubts over the Lord's ability. He says, you can make me clean, Lord. That's faith. That's faith. He knew the Lord was mighty and could save. But his question is, are you willing to save, especially me? And that's the question on some point on every sinner's mind. So let's consider that in our second heading, the Lord's willingness. Now, the leper had abased himself. And he might wonder, I have humbled myself before the Lord. I have committed my soul to him. What is he going to do with me? He knew Christ had every right to say, be gone, depart, you are unclean. Because the rabbis had done much worse than that. Many of them made it a point to torment lepers. They would make sport of pelting them with stones. What a picture that is of the self-righteous, isn't it, friends? Spiritual lepers tormenting physical lepers. Sad to say, friends, it's a convicting thing, but when it comes to other sinners, we are more like the rabbis and less like Christ. Proving we are all as an unclean thing and the whole head is sick. So the leper might have feared coming to the Lord, knowing what the rabbis and the Pharisees did. But hope certainly must have stirred in him when he heard the Lord preach the Sermon on the Mount, and he was drawn to him by the Holy Ghost. Now, Luke only records the action of our Savior. But what's wonderful about Mark 1, verse 41, is you enter into the heart and the mind of the Savior towards this man. In that verse, the Holy Ghost records the motive force for Jesus, saying, Jesus moved with compassion. He moved with compassion. So if leprosy, friends, pictures sin, and if leprosy shows us that sin is hated by God, to see here that God in the flesh is moved with compassion for this leprous man, not a man who is filled with a little bit of leprosy, but even a man full of it. In other words, that this man is a picture of the very worst kind of sinner, a man with putrefying sores from head to foot, with no soundness in his body. One might say he pictures for you the chief of sinners. It's a remarkable thing to hear that Jesus was moved with compassion. And it is his compassion in Mark 1 that gives substance to the truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, 1 Timothy 1:15. You see, friends, the Gospels, they give living portraits to Scripture truth. What you're meant to do is, in your mind, create a permanent association between 1 Timothy 1:15 and Luke 5, verse 12. When you want to know the truth that the Lord has compassion on the chief of sinners and has come for them. You must look at a man filled with leprosy that Jesus was moved with compassion for. The remarkable thing here is also in seeing how the Savior's compassion was manifest. It was manifest not simply by speaking a word and cleansing him, but every gospel, all three of these synoptics, record Jesus touching the man. He didn't have to do it, friends. It's not required of him to heal this man in that way. In Luke 17, when he heals the 10 lepers, Jesus heals them at a distance. But he did it here at the beginning of his ministry, so sinners full of sin will know that he is compassionate and willing to save them, to even touch them. With that touch, our Lord demonstrated in truth, I am willing to save you. Think of it from this man's perspective. The very first human touch this man felt since he originally cried out, unclean, unclean, were the tender and compassionate hands of our Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing to feel after so much isolation and so much deadness. Oh, the leper pictures the deadness of our soul until Jesus Christ touches it and makes us alive. And the very first thing we feel is the Lord's compassion and pity. And through that touch, friends, no sinner can doubt Psalm 103 that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Moved with compassion to touch a leper. My fellow sinners, in that single touch, the truth of Psalm 103 was confirmed. Pity and compassion, not dealing with us as sinners. Pity for us as children, not wrath, even for the most grotesque of our sins. Pity and willing to save us. It's a wonderful text. Now, there is a difficulty I need to resolve here in this touching of Christ that you might have in your mind. Because Leviticus 5 says, if a soul touch any unclean thing, he shall also be unclean and guilty. So why was our Lord able to touch the man without breaking the law? You know, Christ fulfilled all the laws, so he would never break the law of God. There's been debate on it, but I believe it's the priestly office that sheds light on it the most. Priests, after all, were supposed to inspect the lepers, weren't they? And you remember when Uzziah was struck with leprosy, the priests physically thrust him out of the temple. Our text also seems to show in verse 14, when Christ commands the man to show himself to the priests, it seems to be that priests in their mediatorial office seem not to become unclean in examining and perhaps touching lepers. And so, Christ's office as true high priest enables him to do that without breaking the law. In any case, friends, sin finds no hold in Jesus anyway, so Christ could never become unclean to begin with. But as to why it might seem as though he's breaking the law of Leviticus 5, he is not. It seems to be in the purview of the high priest to be able to do such a thing. But remember, if you remember Leviticus, that while the priests could examine a leper, none of them could heal a leper. That's something that only our high priest can do. You know, be thou clean are not words that any human priest could ever utter to a leper. Never dare utter it. But immediately, with the touch of Jesus Christ, high priest, the man was made clean. Verse 13, immediately the leprosy departed from him. Immediately, cleansed from all his leprosy. Not a spot of it remained. His skin was utterly restored. Oh, sinners, will you not see the truth of the scripture and the healing touch of Jesus Christ? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all all unrighteousness. He made a connection with Timothy in Luke 5. Now make a connection with 1 John 1:9 and Luke 5:13 as well. If you need to see the truth that he is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, see him heal this man instantly. The sinner no longer cries unclean, but he rests in being declared clean by Jesus. Friends, whatever you have done, in other words, if you would come to the Lord with humility, if you would come to the Lord with faith, if you would come to the Lord saying, "Have mercy, for I am a sinner, Lord," you will find the Lord say from the Scripture, "I will, be thou clean." You might have wondered two things about Jesus Christ in your life. One, is he able to save me from the worst of my sins? And two, is he willing to save me from the worst of my sins? And the beauty of this text, beloved, is to show you the answer is yes to both. That is the beauty of such a small phrase, "I will, be thou clean." It shows the willingness and the power of Christ to do it. That one phrase, that word from the Lord, shows what confidence sinners have in Jesus Christ when they repent. They are words born of compassion, and they are words that came with a tender touch. Do any of you still doubt the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is willing to save, or that he is willing even to sanctify you and cleanse you to the uttermost? Do you doubt that Jesus Christ is willing? What more does he have to do to prove he is willing to you? Did he not leave the glories of heaven willingly? "I will." Did he not suffer the humiliation on this earth willingly? "I will." Did he not die on a cross for sinners willingly? "No man taking my life, I lay it down myself." "I will." What else will you demand of him to prove he came for a sinner like you? Are you willing to go to him? Are you willing to say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner"? Do you doubt that his answer will ever be, "I will"? You can search the Scriptures, friends. You could spend this Sabbath and the next 100 Sabbaths searching the Scriptures. You will not find a single soul who came to the Lord Jesus flat on their face, asking for mercy, who did not receive mercy. Do not doubt the testimony of the Lord, because if you doubted he is willing to save the worst of sinners, you would be adding sin to your sin. You must put your faith in him and go to Jesus Christ now. And if you are a believer, but have not confessed and repented of some sin because you doubt that the Lord might receive you, you must erase that doubt from our Scripture as well. "I will, be thou clean." There is nothing, friends, that the Lord cannot forgive. For where sin abounded, what do we hear? Grace did much more abound. Nothing. But not just forgive, but to cleanse, to remove, to mortify, to vivify, to give life where there is death in your heart, he is willing to do it. But are you willing to go to him as the leper did? Are you willing to go not just once, but persistently, like the widow in the parable was? He is willing to receive you over and over and over again. But you must be willing to go to him. Sinners, you must behold a leper. You must behold the Christ. And you must behold also a man no longer a leper when you look at this text. In John 5:40, he says mournfully, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Whose will is the problem? In our text, he says, "I will." The problem is your will, not his. I pray that all of you, friends, would have the Holy Spirit even now changing your will so that you will come to him. On Judgment Day, friends, if you don't come to him, your lack of willingness to go to Christ for cleansing is what will condemn you. Having heard this word, it is sin added to all of your other sins. The reason you are not willing, friends, let me tell you why men are not willing to come to Jesus. It's because they know he's going to tell them, sin no more. And that is why they are not willing. Think about this leper. He came to Jesus because he did not want to be a leper anymore. Sinners, you must come to Jesus because you don't want to be a sinner anymore. And you want to be cleansed of it. That's what this leper is showing us. And if you still doubt that the Lord is willing, you must never forget that the greatest demonstration of the will of Christ to cleanse sinner was not when he touched this leper. No, the leper was cleansed because of Christ's willingness to go to the cross for sinners. And the prophecy of it in Zechariah 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That fountain was opened when our Lord was pierced and his blood was poured forth for sinners. A great and terrible fountain of blood for sin and for uncleanness. So that all spiritual lepers with faith in the Lord would be cleansed by it. By faith, beloved, you must see you have received more than a mere touch from Christ. You have received his very body broken for you and his blood shed for you. His blood of infinite worth and merit to cleanse the greatest of sinners. And that's why he can say to the greatest of sinners, be clean. The cross preaches the truth. Both meet, the words of the scripture meet there. I will, as he willingly goes to the cross, and be thou clean, as he says, it is finished. With that solemn truth, then, let's consider our final heading, the sinner's response. With the former leper cleansed, Christ tells the man to tell no one what has transpired. He says, only go to the priest and follow the instructions of the law of Moses. Again, the Lord will not break the ceremonial law. It remained in force until he fulfilled it all when he cried, it is finished. Now, when the man went, the priest did not find anything on him. The text doesn't even have to tell you that, because immediately the leprosy departed from the man. You know, the priest found nothing. Not a spot remained. While his last visit to the priest caused the man to say, unclean, unclean, on this visit, the priest must vindicate the man, saying, you are clean, able to enter back into the people of God. Friends, the truth there is that a man made clean by Jesus is forever clean. No man is able to condemn you. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You must praise God that when you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, the verdict is clean. And you must be assured of it. If you have saving faith that accepts Jesus, receives Jesus, and rests in Jesus, friends, you are forever clean. And I say hallelujah, praise God for that as a sinner. Is that not something to rejoice in this Sabbath? On this Lord's Day, I know the week has been hard for many of us, but have you not heard the best news today in this leper that is cleansed, saying, I deserve outer darkness, but I have eternal life in Jesus Christ as a gift through faith. I am as an unclean thing, but my Savior is a fountain of blood for my sin and uncleanness. I am very sinful, but my Savior is moved with pity and mercy for me. Christ's words, I will be thou clean, are the best thing that you have heard this past week. It must be for you if you have ever seen yourself as a spiritual leper. And no matter how bad the news is out there, no matter what is raging against you, friends, his words have stood faithful and true ever since he uttered it. And all that has tormented God's people have come and gone, all of it on the ash heap. But his words, I will be thou clean, have transcended all troubles. They are living words made alive by the Holy Ghost, because Christ is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And because of that, he is still healing spiritual lepers like you and me, beloved. Jesus charged this man to tell no one about the miracle. But Mark's gospel says of the man, But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert or deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. The man disobeyed the Lord. He's not to be commended for that. The Lord told him not to, but why? Well, Jesus said he came to preach the kingdom of God, and as the man revealed Jesus, people were coming at him for every ailment that hindered that work. Jesus could no longer openly enter into the city and preach. He had to go into deserted places because they were all coming at him. That's why he told the man, it's not time yet to tell anyone. But it struck me on what a sad commentary this is on the state of men's hearts, that if we published in this place that if you come here, COVID would be miraculously healed or whatever else, you would have many breaking down that door right now. As they did with Jesus, they came to him from every quarter. Or Herod, when he brought Jesus, he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. The only reason, do me a miracle, Jesus. Or when they thought they could get free meals from Jesus, they followed him until he said, I am the bread of life. And many departed from him on that day. You know that church over there, they advertise free dinners on Wednesdays. Sinners will come to that, but tell sinners that they can be forgiven, they can be cleansed, and can have eternal life in Jesus Christ, that spiritual leprosy is freely forgiven and cleansed. Few will come to hear that gospel preached, which is in truth the power of God unto salvation. So what of you? Why are you a Christian? Why are you here? Is it because you see your leprosy and you have come for the mercy of Jesus Christ? Or is it for something else? Boys and girls, are you only a Christian because your parents are Christians? Is that the only reason you're here? Or is it because you have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and that you see yourself as this leper, as a sinner? And you have seen that only He gives life to sinners and only He can cleanse you of all of your unrighteousness. Is that why you are here? Make sure you follow Jesus for the right reasons as this former leper did. And what a wonderful thing. Former leper. Right? Let's not refer to him as a leper. Now, the other thing that's remarkable for those of us who are saved is though the man disobeyed and is not to be commended of it, and I pray he repented of that, the beautiful thing of it is that his leprosy did not return. He was saved, and he was saved forever, friends. Having true faith, he did not become unsaved. His disobedience did not negate his faith. It could not. I hope that his faith, as it is true and real here in this text, it must have moved him to repent in time when others told him what had happened because of what he had done. But as Jesus had saved him, Jesus has saved him to the uttermost. Whereas he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus didn't stop interceding for this man when he went on his way to the priest. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for all those that he has touched. That former leper now had a high priest who would forever intercede for his sins. And the text shows that as well through his disobedience. But as for you, you have not received a word that tells you to not publish what Jesus has done for you. That command was not a universal command, but just for that man. And in a way, right, his sin is not excusable. So understand what I'm saying. In a way, that man's sin was understandable, isn't it? It is very hard for a true child of God to keep silent about Jesus Christ. That's a distinguishing mark. For they that are forgiven much, love much. And I suppose that those who are forgiven much glorify Jesus much. And how much this man was forgiven and how much this man was cleansed. His life was once misery, but now it is joy. And he could not help but tell others, I was a leper until the pity of Jesus Christ came upon me. Once the verdict at the priest was unclean, now the verdict is clean. What of you? I was once a sinner. I was once without God and without hope, but one day I encountered Jesus Christ in the Word. I asked Him to forgive me as He convicted me of my sin, and He said, I will. "Be thou clean." And I was forgiven forever. What a wonderful thing to tell others, friends. Though it was disobedience for him, it is not disobedience for you, but rather your duty. Psalm 66:16. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." But having been cleansed of your spiritual leprosy, beloved, out of love for your Savior and out of a sense of how grotesque your sin is, do not return to spiritual leprosy. Do not return to your sin. Yes, you're going to falter. You will sin here and there, just like this leper, former leper did. But you must always return to Jesus, and quickly. Do not give yourself over to sin ever again. The former leper must not ever walk again as a leper. Romans 6:4, "Even so, we also should walk in newness of life, not as lepers." How ridiculous if the man returned to living outside the camp where he was set free from. That's what we do when we walk back in our sin. Walk as one cleansed of your sin, because you have been. So this morning, you've seen another portrait of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've grown hardened in your sin, or lukewarm in the faith, recall again what it was like when you first laid spiritual eyes on Christ. Rekindle the love you had when you first met the Savior of sinners. And if you've never fallen in love with the Savior for who he is before, receive him by faith. Do it now. Don't delay. Don't delay. See the truth. "I will be thou clean." He is willing and able to cleanse you. Praise God for that. Amen. May God bless the preaching of his word. Please rise for prayer if able. Our Lord, our God, how could we do anything, Lord? How could we do anything but declare what Jesus Christ has done for our soul? Lord, we're thankful for this portrait of Christ, which testifies to so many of the truths of the Scripture. That those who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. That those who come to him confessing their sins, he will utterly cleanse to the uttermost. And that Jesus Christ has come for sinners, even the chief. Lord, if any here were convicted that they are a sinner for the very first time, help them turn to the Lord. Knowing if they flee to Christ, he says, "I will be thou clean." And if any believers here are holding on to sin unrepentantly, worried that the Lord will never receive them again, burn the Savior's words into their soul, "I will be thou clean." O Lord, we praise you and glorify you that you have become salvation for us. "Jehovah is my salvation," is the truth of the Scripture. How glad we are that salvation is of the Lord and not of any man, for no man would pity us and no man would have this compassion that our Savior has had for sinners, even the chief. Bless this text to our souls. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.